Good morning to each one of you this morning. It's a pleasant blessing to be together again with you all. If there's nothing that I share this morning that really sticks out to you to take home, and even if I do, let's us as dads remember the point that Sister Ann just made. It's never too late. Amen. That's powerful. I have some mixed emotion this morning. I don't know how many of you listened to the songs that I passed on this morning about that little boy. But before I get into that, my wife was thinking about sharing this morning. I told her I would share it for. I just comment that we did have a busy week. Thank you, Carl, for the update of out in the Indiana meetings. While I was out in Indiana at the meetings, I did get a notification from my wife that her sister was having some health problems and was getting some testing done. While I was there, she got back to me that they got word that her sister right below her, they found a rather large tumor on her lungs at a very, very difficult place and rather large. And I just share that you can pray for her. Her name is Audrey. Pray for the family. It's very difficult for my wife, rightly so. I know God's grace is there. God bless her. But within a time frame of several years, bearing two parents, and some immediate siblings, her brother and sister-in-law on my side, numerous uncles, it looks a bit big, and we raise those why questions. But we know and trust the sovereign hand of God. So just share that with you this morning. You can be praying for my wife as she processes all that. You can pray for the family and you can pray for a miracle. They didn't say the word cancer yet, but it sure looks like that's most likely what it is. She'll be going for a biopsy this week, the way it sounds. So we do covet your prayers on that behalf. You know, this is Father's Day. Father's Day strikes all kinds of emotion in our hearts, does it not? And I appreciate that James already alluded to some of that, you know. I must say, even with sharing some of the things that I feel like God has laid on my heart this morning, it strikes a certain amount of uncertainty in my own heart as I share these things, because when you stand up here and you share, you try to exhort, admonish, and warn, and all those kind of things. As it relates to family and as it relates to fathers, it touches different emotional cords in different ways. And the potential is there of saying things at times that are hurtful because of our past and whatever experience we have. But I am so thankful this morning. As Psalms 27:10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He is the Father this morning to the fatherless. And so may our hearts be encouraged. This is Father's Day, and I don't know, brothers and sisters, time is just an amazing thing, how time moves on. When I think of Father's Day, and when I think of where I stand here this morning, Father's Day is coming, and I recall back to the time when my first child was born, and I probably said this before here already, but you know, there's a lot of things in life I just forget. It comes and it goes, and I forget, but one of those things that I'll probably never forget was when the doctor handed to me this little boy, and I looked into his face. And the responsibility, I'm a dad. And a side note to that is, he looks like me. But anyway, I'm a dad. Today he's 30 years old, and he's a dad of three. And I say, where did time go? This week, I went out to Indiana And I stopped to see my other son that's in Indiana. And I left there and left my baby there for several weeks. And today's Father's Day, and I say, what is happening? You know, we have this window of time, dads, and it's gone. Now I say it's gone. Granted, we're still dads, we still influence, and we still do that. But what an incredible opportunity, dad, that we can influence these precious eternal souls that God gives us. Let's just bow our heads and take a moment to pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your love. Thank you for your great mercy. Thank you that you're God. And thank you, Lord, this morning that your grace and your mercy and your peace is extended to us this morning. Lord, we bless you. We commit all of life's unchanging situations to you. We commit my wife to you and commit her family to you and commit Audrey and her family to you as they process all that has happened. And then, Lord, this morning we think of dads. We think of the awesome responsibility. And we think of the privilege that we have to influence eternal souls. And, Lord, we're needy yourself. But thank you for redemption. And thank you that we can look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we can point our families to that. And we can direct our families in that direction. And trust that they too will surrender and yield their lives to Christ. And so, Father, we look to you this morning and ask that you would just speak to our hearts here this morning. Help me to be able to say some encouraging things that would motivate us as dads. And not overwhelm us, not discourage us, but give us encouragement. Because we need it, and because we're needy, and because we do get weary, yet there's no greater investment than we can make than into eternal souls. And so, Father, we pray this morning that you would bless the dads in this congregation. Father, we look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd just like to encourage you this morning. I think we probably all heard the phrase already that dads act in the role of a priest in their home. And I'd like to elaborate on that this morning. In fact, I've chosen to call it the father's priestly role. Fathers, what a responsibility that we have. And in the Old Testament, as we think of the whole priesthood concept, there's a lot of types and shadows there. I don't want to intend to spend a lot of time on that this morning. But just to do some reflecting of that, you know, the priesthood there in the Old Testament and the types and shadows that go with all of that. And I will make a little bit of reference to that this morning. But then as we come into the New Covenant and we consider that all past and gone of the old sacrificial system. And Jesus Christ was a fulfillment of that this morning. And as a result of that, as 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This morning, as a result of what Jesus Christ has done, we're part of that royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people that God has called us to this morning. And God has called us this morning as fathers and heads of our household to stand in some ways in types as the priest did there in the Old Testament. You know, just a little bit about that. The official ministers of worship and leaders of the nation of Israel who represented the people before God and conducted the various rituals to atone for their sins. This function was carried out by the father of the family back in the early days, even before the days of Moses and Aaron. But with the priesthood was formally established. Aaron's descendants were established as the priestly line to Israel. They carried out their important duties from generation to generation as a special class devoted to God's service. And we know even before that time, we can go back to Genesis there in 3:21, where Adam and Eve in their shame were there in the garden, and an animal sacrifice was required. And then we can go to Abel, and he chose of the best of the flock. And then we can go to Abraham as our father of faith, and where he built an altar, and there was the death of animals. And then we can go to Job, and we see it in Job 1:5, where Job, he sacrificed for his family. But I'd like to think a little bit about this priesthood, and we as fathers standing in this priestly role, and I'd just like to reflect a little bit here in the beginning, as and look at just some of the responsibilities as of the priest there in the Old Testament, and then consider that as it relates to our situations as fathers with the responsibilities that we have in our home. The priest officiated at worship by offering various offerings on behalf of that nation, and by leading the people to confession of their sins. Does that not sound like the role of the father in our home, to stand before our children and leading them in helping our families, fathers, and our children to realize the ramifications of sin? Of course, the situation with the priest there in the Old Testament was different than what we're faced in the New Testament. But as we think of fathers, and I'd just like to encourage us as fathers this morning, as we lead our families, as it was there in the Old Covenant, the priest led the nation of people in the confession of their sins and helping them to understand sin. And does that not sound like the role of the father in our homes today? May we as fathers be encouraged to take that place, take this priestly role that God has given to us in our home as we lead our families as fathers. May encourage your hearts in that way. They led in the function of offering sacrifices on the altar, and the priests acted as mediators between man and God, offering sacrifices so that sin might be forgiven. Now, we know as fathers that we don't offer these sacrifices on the altar. Jesus Christ came and fulfilled that, and so we don't offer these sacrifices. But, you know, our children come into the world totally ignorant of God and who God is. And God gives us as fathers that responsibility to be mediators between God and our children and help our children to understand who God is by teaching and nurturing them. So in that sense, we stand as a priest in our home as we teach and instruct and help our children to understand the severity of sin. Each sacrifice was demonstrated that the penalty of sin is death, and that there can be no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And there again, we have that responsibility as fathers in our homes to be teachers and to stand between a holy God and our families. They taught by example, and there would be scriptures we could look at a lot of these different thoughts that I'm giving here this morning, but for the sake of time, I won't do that. But by their example, the priest taught the people how to distinguish between the holy and the unholy, and between the unclean and the clean. And does that not also sound like the responsibilities that God gives for us as fathers to help our children, you know, as we walk with them, as the Old Testament says, by the way, can't quote that verse, but as we teach our children and help them to understand what is right and what is wrong. You know, our children don't come into this world understanding these things, and it takes commitment, it takes dedication as us as fathers to be the teachers of our children. In addition, the priests served as judges, acting as a kind of supreme court for Israel. Does that not also sound a bit like what we as fathers are called to do? Sometimes we have to be judges between what is right and what is wrong. And if you're a dad like I am, have been, still am, but I'm going out that side, sometimes we just become a bit weary of those things, don't we? But may God encourage our hearts this morning to continue that rule that He has called us to as we journey through life, raising our families. It takes commitment. It takes time. They were a medium through which God sometimes communicated His divine will. You know, our children come to us as young, innocent, but sinners before God, And there's many, many things we have to teach them. They understand very little about God's will, and we have God's Word to be teachers, to teaching our children. And that was part of the priesthood. As long as the king and people of Israel remained loyal to God and His law, the priests were highly respected and exercised healthy influence in the land. But the priest eventually sank into immorality and departed from God, worshiping idols, along with the rest of the people. And we know that unfaithfulness with a father can be very, very devastating in the life of children. And there could be many stories that could be shared about that. But we know that is the final end of what happened. Even the priest fell into sin and those kind of things. But we are called to be priests in our home to our children. And that office was eventually fulfilled in Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ became a man and offered Himself once and for all for the sins of many. Therefore, we are this royal priesthood this morning, and we get to represent Jesus Christ to our families. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I'd like to turn to Exodus 39 now, if you would turn there in your Bibles. Just a few more thoughts about this to give us some encouragement this morning as fathers. You can turn, I said Genesis, maybe Exodus 39 is where I meant. Exodus 39, and I'm thinking a little bit this morning about this royal priesthood. This was a high calling in the Old Testament. And I'd just like to encourage us this morning as fathers. It's a high calling. It's a high calling. As I stated, it is a place of responsibility, but it's also a place of privilege that we can stand as fathers. And may our hearts this morning be encouraged as we think of this. It's a royal priesthood. It's a place of royalty. And I'm just going to read 1 through 5 and make a comment or two, and then I'll read 6 and 7. Exodus 39. It says, and it's talking about the clothing of the priest. It says, "And of blue and of purple and of scarlet they made clothes of service to do service in the holy place, and made the holy garments of Aaron as the Lord commanded Moses. And he made an ephod of gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen. And they did beat the gold into plates and cut it into wires to work it in the blue and in the purple and in the scarlet and in the fine linen with cunning work, and made shoulder pieces for it to couple it together by the two edge was in coupled together. And the curious girdle of his ephod that was upon it was of the same, according to the work thereof, of gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen, as the Lord had commanded Moses." So it was all these collars, and I think you could put in there the whole royalty of it, of this position of a priest. It was a high calling. And then reading 6 and 7, yet it says, "And they wrought onyx stones enclosed in ouches of gold, graven with the names of the children of Israel. And he put it upon the shoulders of the ephod, and that they should be stones for memorial to the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded." So if I'm understanding this correctly, they took these onyx stones and they engraved in these stones the names of the children of Israel, and somehow it was in ouches of gold. I somehow in picture this ephod to have all these stones with the names of the children of Israel, and then somehow, as I understand this, it would have somehow been placed into some sort of gold sockets or something like that, and it was worn on the ephod of the priest as they went in to sacrifice, if I'm understanding this correctly. And these stones with the names of the children of Israel were engraved in that as a memorial. And I just take from all that the whole idea of the responsibility of the priest being responsible for the nation of Israel as a bit of a sign of the opportunity, if you want to call it that, and the responsibility of the dad as he leads his home with the responsibility of his children. It's a place of royalty. It's a place of high calling. It's a place of responsibility. But that is the way I understand it. And they wore this across the ephod across their shoulders. And I'd just like to make a comment about that as we think of all the types and those kind of things as it relates to that. But you know, dads, I'd just like to encourage this morning. Sometimes being a dad, we just simply need broad shoulders, do we not? They wore this across their shoulders. Dads, we need broad shoulders sometimes to be a dad. And may I encourage us as dads to continue looking to God for grace as we raise our families. God's grace is there. Now, we don't need to turn to it, but if we go back just a couple chapters to Exodus 28, when it's referring to some of the same things, it actually makes reference there of it being close to his heart. And I'd just like to take that as another type or shadow or sign or whatever. Are we carrying our children close to our heart this morning? Are we carrying our children close to our heart this morning? You know, it's interesting. It's interesting there in Malachi. And Malachi, if you read Malachi, especially chapter 2, I believe there it is in the beginning, where God, through Malachi, pronounces some incredible judgments on these priests that have departed from the ways of God and have condoned sin. And the book of Malachi is a very, very interesting chapter, a book in the Bible, as the Old Testament is closing up and that whole system is passing away. And within a matter of years to come is coming in, ushering in the new covenant. And that whole thing closes with some of those sad realities of what has happened with the priesthood. And then we have these incredible, encouraging verses in Malachi 4:6 that says and talks about the coming Messiah. And he says he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. You know, it would be interesting for all of us to give our perspective. What does it mean for a father to have his heart turned towards his children? What does it mean for the hearts of the children to be turned back towards the fathers? But I believe that that is a reality of what should take place when the grace of God comes to our lives and we realize the value of eternal souls. And I know that all of our experiences of conversion are different and different things happen, but I would have to say that that is one of the realities for some reason. And I'm not saying this both boastfully, and I'm not saying that if this didn't happen to you to the degree it did to me, it wasn't the grace of God. Nothing like that. But I know the reality, and you don't, most of you don't know me back in those years and some of the things where I was, but the reality of the indelible impression that God somehow laid on my heart when I got saved was the value of family. Somehow it was a work of God that I cannot explain, and I'm so thankful for. And I know it all happens to us in different ways, but may we somehow, as fathers, turn our hearts towards the responsibility of being fathers. And you know, we have our earthly father, our heavenly father to look to. Now, I made reference, I'd just like to comment a bit about it. In fact, read it here in Job 1:5, where Job is an incredible example and encouragement to us as fathers. It has been to me over the years. It says, "And so it was, when the days of feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." Now, I know that Job is not a New Testament character. He's an Old Testament character back there. And I know that things were different with the sacrificial system, and I know this was part of the sacrifices that he offered. But, you know, Job is an amazing character. You can tell that Job is a man, and I believe is an example to us today. He carried his family on his heart. Job rose up early in the morning and sanctified his family and said, It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. I think Job is an example to us of a father who is not lethargic. He's on his toes. And I'd just like to encourage us as fathers this morning to continue on with our families and not become weary in well-doing. Thus did Job continually. He rose up early in the morning.
Job was a father that he was on his toes. May we be a father like that. May we look to our Heavenly Father for the strength and the courage to be the fathers that God is calling us to be. You know, there is none of us, and I'm looking at myself, that are the perfect, ideal father on this side of eternity. And none of us will be. But our Heavenly Father is the perfect one. And He is the example this morning that we can look to. He is the one that we can look to find encouragement. And I know we as fathers look around at our other brothers sometimes, and I'm sure you sometimes there's brothers that would look at me and say, now why is he allowing that? I'm far from a perfect father. We need each other. But I'm so thankful this morning that we can look to our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be His name. He is the perfect one. And I'd like to look here in a little bit how our Father in heaven related to His Son. And then how, as a result of what Jesus Christ has done, we are adopted into that family and can experience that same love that He had to His Son flowing through us today. Is that not an amazing reality? And may that give us encouragement this morning to be the fathers that God is calling us to be. May God help us with that this morning. We are a royal priesthood. 1 Thessalonians 2:11 says, and you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you. Now this is Paul talking to the church there at Thessalonica. He said, and you know how we exhorted. These are three interesting words that we could elaborate on and probably should elaborate on a lot, although I'd just like to make comment a little bit here. As you know how we exhorted, we comforted, and we charged every one of you. And then he says, as a father does his children. Is that not interesting? Paul uses the same format when he's encouraging the church and just says, this is natural. Dads, this morning, this is natural. This is how we should be relating to our families. We should be exhorting them, encouraging them. There are times we should be comforting them. There are times we as fathers should be giving them a charge, giving them responsibility. You know, sometimes we have Mother's Day and we refer to that this morning, and today is Father's Day. But when it comes to the comforting and some of those things, we quicker think of this side over here. But he says, as a father does his children. You know, I just like to encourage us as dads this morning, our children need a lot of exhortation. There are times where our children need a lot of comfort. They do. From dad. From dad. They need that. Not just from mom. They need it from dad. I appreciated so much our sister's encouragement this morning of her relationship with her dad. And I know that I don't do it enough, but I believe it's right that dads come along and lay their hand on their shoulder sometimes of their son or their daughter and give them some comfort. You know, life is hard. Life is tough. Battles are real. Sometimes we come and maybe we see some things that we don't necessarily approve of as dads, and we give them a charge. And we give them some loving admonishment and some encouragement. Dad should do that. Come along and exhort, encourage, comfort, and charge, even as a father does his children. Now, this just simply alludes, this is just a natural, normal part of fatherhood. And I know, brothers, we get weary. But may I speak some encouragement into you this morning? Let's gird up our loins. We're not done yet. You know, I sometimes kiddingly say, well, I'm going to rest when I get to heaven. You know, there are times I'm tired. Everything in me wants to go to bed. And there's some responsibility. There's a struggling teenager. I haven't always perfected this. There's times I turn the light off and we worry about it later. But you know, dads, maybe be encouraged to seize those opportunities when we have them. It's okay sometimes to go without a sleep. It's okay sometimes to be tired. We're needed. We're needed. This is my first Father's Day without my dad. We're getting together at my mother for lunch, and I'm guessing we're going to do some reflecting on that. So there's some emotional whatever goes with that. But you know, I have incredible respect for my dad. And there was some things with my dad that I didn't see when I was a teenager. And I look back on now with incredible gratitude, and I'm going to talk about just a few of those things here in a bit. But you know, it's over. I can't go back anymore and say, you know, thank you, Dad. it's over. I trust I did that while he was still living. But you know, that's reality. Now, some of you saw I walked in this morning to church with a crowbar. And you probably wondered, what is this man going to do with a crowbar? There was an analogy used years ago in a message that stuck with me through most of my child-rearing years, and I feel like I personally got a good bit of mileage out of it as I raised my family. And I don't share these things as I'm perfected. I'm far from perfected. And I don't know if some of you heard this. The brother that I heard use this analogy, I think he borrowed it from somewhere else. Fathers need to sometimes learn to be like... I got Ruby to bring this along. Does anybody know what this is? This is a piece of velvet. My wife didn't have any. I said, don't you have any? She said, I'll call Ruby. She'll have some. She brought me a whole bag of it. This is velvet. How does velvet feel? Soft. Feel good. A lot of clothing that we wear against our skin is made out of velvet. It feels good, doesn't it? Soft. It's just velvet, something nice to hold. What do I have here? Crowbar. What's this made out of? Steel. I guess it's made out of steel, iron. I'm going to call it steel. You know, I'm going to encourage us, and I think Jesus Christ modeled this perfectly. Sometimes as fathers, we need to be like steel. You know, I raise and am raising real children. And sometimes those children need to come up to dad and dad feels like this. Sometimes I haven't been like this where I should have been like this. But you know, I could have any of you strong teenagers come up here and you would not bend this. Now, if we gave this thing enough of heat, you could probably bend it. But nobody's going to bend my crowbar. Nobody's going to bend my crowbar. How about this? Is this a totally different material? You know, I don't have the answers. I'm just going to be totally honest with you. I don't have the answers. I don't have the 1, 2, 3 step, and you're going to have the perfect outcome. Thank you, James, for sharing what you shared this morning, and for Brother Kent for your thoughts. Two different sons, two different outcomes. And you just drop that on us. And you know, that's just how it is raising families. We don't have the answers. We do know that I believe if we do it God's way, we will have results. And I believe the more we fathers learn to understand the character and the nature of Jesus Christ, the more successful and the more of a positive influence we'll have on our families. May I just say it that way? But Jesus came to us and he modeled perfectly the whole subject of grace and truth. In fact, that's the way it states it in John 1. You can turn there. John chapter 1. And verse 12 through 14 is where I'd like to read. Which were born... Okay, verse 12. But as many as have received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. For the Word was made flesh, Jesus Christ, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I don't really remember much at all that was shared quite a few years ago in that whole subject of velvet and steel. But I totally got the message. I totally got the message. Have I practically lived it out right? Absolutely not. But you know, as fathers, there's times we come into situations where it just requires a certain amount of delicacy to keep the heart of one of our children. And then there's other times we come into situation, and God help us to be in tune with Him, where it takes this whole idea of steel. Where Dad, no, this is what we're going to do, and this is where we're going to go. And I'd just like to encourage us, I think, if God can help us in those things, I think that is where we will be miles down the road to the security that God would have us to have in our homes. And I'd just like to make a few practical examples here. I forget if it was earlier this week or if it was over the weekend last week or the end of the week or when it was. I was in the house. I don't remember what I was doing. One of my daughters was out there mowing the lawn. And I looked out. And there the beautiful bird feeder was that we bought at Green Dragon and spent more for a bird feeder than we ever did about 4 or 5 years ago. Put it on a nice post out there in the yard. We had all the wonderful birds coming to our bird feeder. I looked out the window and there it was, laying over in the grass. The bird feeder was laying over in the grass. My bird feeder that my wife and I just appreciated so much was laying over in the grass. And immediately I thought, how in the world did she do that? I asked her if I can share this. She said I can. And immediately, which one did I think about? Crowbar? Well, in the flesh, yes. What the world? I need to go out and tell her how to drive that thing. Do you think she just intentionally ran that thing over? Just, Dad, you know what? Over she goes. Not for a moment. Which did she need? She needed this. You know, daughter, it's all right. We'll have the opportunity together. We'll put a new post in there and we'll get it all fixed up. You know, it's in those moments that we need to find the grace of God, how to respond. In fact, for her sake, I'll tell you this. When I went out and inspected, I found the post was rotten and almost broke off. It just took a little bit of a tap from the mower and over it went. But you know, we can very quickly and easily, if we're not careful, react in the wrong way in those kind of situations. And you know, there are times dads do need to be like this. There are times dad needs to be like this. I'm going to tell you a couple more incidences. I remember as a boy, teenager, you know, in those moments where you're trying to figure out life and you're dealing with some self-esteem and that kind of thing. I remember backing my dad's big bunny, though, into the garage. And there was an old fuel tank sitting there in the garage from a skid loader that my dad had taken apart. And the fuel spout in this old fuel tank, probably made out of this, was sticking straight up. And I backed the old bunny, though, in and right into the fuel tank. And I still remember stepping out of that bunny, though, and hearing the fuel glug, 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 all running out of my dad's garage. Young boys, you can understand when those kind of disappointments happen. And I'm thinking, what in the world? Dad. And you know, did my dad get angry at me? He did not. He did not. My dad responded to me like this, and I'll never forget it. He understood. There was nothing in my heart that wanted to puncture that. There was times my dad knew how to be like this. I remember one time my dad was washing the chicken house down. He had his washer truck backed outside. And as a boy, I engines and trucks and vehicles, and I don't know how old I was, 13 or 14 years old, and this thing had a diesel engine in the back operating the pump that was running, and I thought, you know, my dad will never know it. He's in there busy washing down the chicken house. I had hoses going out from it. But there was some leeway where I can move that truck around with the hose, and everything in me wanted to drive that thing. And so I remember starting it up and revving the engine up a couple times, and boy, this was great. I was going front and the back, and I was doing my thing, and I was learning. And everything in me knew that my dad would be upset if he knew it. But I was doing it, and I still remember the feeling when I saw my dad. He heard it come walking out around the back of the chicken house, and there I was. I was caught. Which did I need? He gave me this. He didn't literally use this. But you know what? I respect him for it. I was wrong. I needed it. That was not an accident. That was not an accident. I needed it. My dad, he knew how to be this, and my mom. You know, most of you young people are miles down the road from where I was in my youth. I was not a converted young boy, and so I can use this illustration, and I'm not trying to make a point with this. But one of my friends growing up as a youth now, his dad was okay with him having a motorcycle, big street bike. And everything in me wanted one like him. And then he got a better one, had his for sale. And I knew what my mom and dad's opinion was of a bike, of a big bike. And I wanted one. And one night I was away, I brought it home. It was for sale. He said I could buy it, blah, 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 blah. I brought it home and parked it in the garage. And the next morning, when my dad saw that bike there, I met this. I met this. Nothing in me wanted this. Everything in me wanted this. But I met this. And I was not very thankful. But you know what? Today I am. Today I'm thankful. And you know, is that, you know, I'd like to get into just a little bit of the practicals of this somehow. In fact, I actually thought about this morning, Brother Harold, with what you shared about missions. You know, there's so much conflict in missions. There just is. Because we're dealing with human nature, are we not? We're dealing with human nature, and we all deal with that human nature. And I'm not trying to say wherever there's missions, we shouldn't have this, because it is reality, it is human nature. But I'm just going to tell you, over my short, now 53 years of life, and I observe Christianity, I observe my own state mistakes, my own shortcomings, I observe my own home, and I observe other homes. I've lived long enough now that I can observe and see, and you know, we're not always guaranteed the perfect outcome in every situation. But I would have to say, where these two work together in a home in a beautiful way, is a beautiful thing. Is a beautiful thing with better outcomes, if I may just say it that way. And I'd also like to say that in our homes, and I'm saying this in light of my own self, even as a father, it's much easier to embrace this one. And it's much harder to embrace this one. And I say this with some reluctance, because this doesn't look very good. I'm standing up here with a crowbar talking about raising families. That's not my intent at all. That's not my intent at all. But I'm bringing the steel aspect out of it, where we as fathers learn not to bend. Now, why did I bring up what Grandpa Harold said about missions? In fact, I'm just going to read this verse in Luke 9. It's very, very familiar to us. When we think of Jesus Christ modeling grace and truth in a beautiful way, let's just consider for a moment the cost of the gospel. In Luke 9, 23 through 26, we know it's familiar verses. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whosoever therefore will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall be saved. For what is it a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be a castaway? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You know, that's profound instructions from Jesus, is it not? Is that truth? Is that truth? You know, how many times would we like to weaken the gospel? I remember that early in my Christian life, I ran head on into some things that I knew needed some attention. And I had a brother who was older than me who was mentoring me. And I remember coming face to face with him with this thing that I felt God was speaking to my heart, wanting me to give up. And I remember coming to him with just, you know, I wouldn't have said it this way, but in a way it was appeals to him. Can't we just weaken this thing a little bit? I mean, can't we weaken the cost of this gospel thing just a little bit to make it to fit in my agenda? And I remember him looking at me and saying, brother, who are you going to follow? Who are you going to follow? You know, truth stands. Truth stands. And so many times we'd like to weaken it. Why am I saying all that? You know, as fathers, I believe when we model them too, and God help us with that. I don't have the answers to what all that looks like in each and every situation. I don't. I have, by God's grace and help, tried to find my way with that, wearing those two different hats as I went through life. But here's my point that I'm trying to get at, and I'm trying to say with all those words is, as I evaluate, and I have not perfected this one. I just haven't. In fact, let me finish what I'm saying first. Homes, this is my observation. Homes where, yes, the velvet is in place, but also the structure is in place, the expectation is in place, the authority of dad and mom are in place. No means no. Yes means yes. Come means come. Don't look to me, for example. I've failed this one many times. It's so easy to say it the second and third time, and now it's really time to make this thing work. But the sooner, let me say this yet. I'm doing a lot of that, I know that. But, you know, there are times when I look at this being a dad thing and raising family again, I'm getting old and tired, and I'm glad in some ways I'm done. But if I have the energy of a young man, I'd love to do it again. I'd love to do it again because it works. It works. And it's beautiful. But I can't do it again. But I can encourage others to do it. the more those two work together, but especially a clear, defined, spelled out expectation in the home where children know what is expected is a beautiful thing. And I see it. And I see peaceful children. And somehow, the reason I brought this whole thing up with missions, you know, isn't that the greatest thing that children need to learn? I mean, Ephesians 6 says that children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There's not a lot of instructions there, as there is, but simple obedience. Simple obedience, simple surrender, simple yieldedness. And when that kind of thing is permeating a mission organization, it's a beautiful thing. But so many of us struggle to get a hold of that. And the more children can get a hold of that one in the home, how beautiful it is. How beautiful it is. I'd like to talk a little bit, and this is a little bit along the line of Velvet. I can see I'm not getting around as much as I'd like here. I'd like to look now at the example of Jesus Christ. I'd like to lift that one up. Turn to Matthew 3. Matthew 3. Example. This one here, God just riveted in my heart this week, where Jesus was baptized. And this is the example of we have of a father relating to his son. In verse 17 of Matthew 3 says, where Jesus was baptized and he come up out of the water, and the heavens were open, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That is an incredible example to me of our Father, our perfected Father in heaven, how he related to his Son. The heavens are open, and a voice comes out, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then he said it again in chapter 17, verse 5, in the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." You know, God, I think, gave this for an example for us as we think of relating to our sons. And there again, I believe this one is so needful for our sons and our daughters to know the love that we have for them, even when we do the hard things. That was how he related to his son. Our children should have no doubt in their mind of our Father's love. There's one thing that I noticed in raising children. Children are longing, many times longing, for dad's approval. Dads, we need to learn to talk to our sons and our daughters like that. Having that relationship, I believe, is very important. And I don't know if you ever thought of it or not, but what happened right after that event where we had that proclamation out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." I don't think it's coincidence. But from that point, the next event that we have is Matthew 4, where Jesus is driven into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I don't know what that says to you, but that says something to me. I believe it's a beautiful foundation for our children in preparation for life. First of all, yes, when they understand their father's love for them, but when they understand our father's love for him, we can face those life's temptations, can we not? Do our sons and daughters know that we love them? And I'd just like to share this for whatever it's worth. I was meditating on that and had a lot of time to spend together with my son. I think he'd be okay with me sharing this morning. He's not here. But I was thinking about that, and we're driving along on our way to Indiana. And I was desiring some relationship with him. I'm leaving him out there for a week or two or three. I don't know how long. And I'm thinking of my fatherly duties and my connections with my son. And I was thinking about this passage. And I just randomly said to him, and I give you some encouragement, do this to your son sometime. I said, "Jordan, do you believe Dad loves you?" He's quiet a little bit. He says, "Yes." I said, "Do you believe Dad is well pleased with you?" There was a little more silence. "Son, do you believe your dad disapproves of you?" And there was some more silence. And I was thinking, how do we get this thing going? I said, "Do you believe there are areas of your life that I disapprove of you?" And then he says, "Well, Dad, sometimes I feel a little bit like I'm a bother to you. I'm just being honest with you." That was an incredible platform for me to have conversation with my son. I assured him, you know, son, there is no greater investment that I will ever make on this side of eternity. And whether we call it a bother, it is a dad's responsibility. And I assured him that he is absolutely no more of a responsibility than any of my other children have ever been or ever will be. But there's no important and no more important investment that we will make on this side of eternity than what we make into our sons. And I don't think we as dads, and you can correct me if I'm wrong with this, but I don't think we as dads need to feel condemned or make any apology or anything of that nature if there are areas of our children's lives where we disapprove, because of course there will be. They are on that journey as they yield their life to Christ, that journey of sanctification just like we are, and there's none of us that are perfected. But we as fathers have that opportunity to walk alongside of our sons in those areas that, yes, we would disapprove of. But we, out of a relationship with our children, can guide them and lead them in the way that they should go. And I'm not lifting this up as a role model that I do it all right. I don't. In fact, I'll make this comment yet as it relates to this. I don't know how you find it. I already said it, that it's much easier for me to do the velvet thing. I don't know how many times, it would probably be embarrassing for me to say the number of times that as a father, I have got my children together. You know, I have struggled, I'm just going to be honest, I have struggled over the years with consistency. I've struggled over the years with being a consistent dad in varying areas and degrees. There have been many, many times that I have memories of sitting down with my family and I would say, children, dad has lacked. Can you forgive me? Can you forgive me? You know, Colossians 2, 20 and 21 says, provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. I personally believe when we become lack with our clear expectation for our family, actually puts us down the road in our children becoming discouraged. Our children are looking for the solid security of knowing what home is to be like, where yes actually means what Jesus says it should mean. No means, come means, go means, don't do it means. And we all struggle with consistency. I know it. I know it. We just do. But may we be encouraged, brothers, in that area. Provoking not our children to wrath, but bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's more verses we could look at here. But I'd just like to refer to it. You know, we lift Joseph up as an incredible person in the Bible, and he is. He's an incredible person in the Bible. But as Genesis 37 says, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. I found myself meditating upon that some. Joseph, the outstanding man of character he was, and his father loved him more than the rest of the brethren. Is that why Joseph turned out to be the way he was? And I don't know where to go with all that, but we know that it was a terrible blemish, I believe, in the life of Jacob to show partiality to his sons. But Joseph was a young man, apparently, as I understand this scripture, that understood his father's love, as imperfect as he was. What does that all result in, and what should that all say to us? I'm not quite sure. I'd just like to encourage us as fathers, let's not go down that partiality road. Let us... And one of the things that I think helped me as I meditate on all this is to understand God's love for me. You know, God is not partial. He adopted us as sons and daughters, irregardless of our blemishes and our marks and all of that. And we can somehow exemplify that love equally to our families. And if I can just give some encouragement, I know, and this is a reality that we probably all deal with, you know, our children come to us so different in personality. I'm sure, even I'm not hearing an amen, but I know that's real. Is it not? Our children are so vastly varied. Some of the personalities are a whole lot more conducive to that closeness than others. And I don't know if that's some of that Jacob was probably dealing with his Joseph. But if somehow we can get a hold of God's grace and relate to our children just as equally as our Father does in accepting us, we're adopted in His family. And just as Jesus expressed to His, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," isn't it an amazing work of grace that we are adopted into that family and can experience that same love? May God help us as fathers to love our children. And sometimes our difficult children, when they're finding their way in their teenage years, trying to figure things out, to have the time and patience and love. God help us to be the fathers that He calls us to. Fathers that don't bend when they shouldn't bend. Ye fathers, as Ephesians 6:4 says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That nurture means to educate or train or discipline or correct. I found it interesting. That's the same word that's used in Hebrews 12 as it relates to chastening. As it relates to chastening. Maybe I'll just read that scripture. You can turn there in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 5. And you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receives. If ye be without chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, then are ye bastards. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had the fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subjection to the Father's spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us, or nurtured us, after their own pleasure. But He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Chastening and nurturing, may God help us. It also talks here about admonishing. That is more of a calling to attention, or a mild rebuke, or a warning. You know, as dads, it's one thing when we're raising little children on up, and it's simply training, teaching, obedience, and those kind of things as they're young children. And then it gets into the teenage years when it's more of the admonishing, calling to attention. It's the mild rebukes, it's the warning, it's all those kind of things. God help us to be fathers that take our rule. You know, Eli is an example to us of a failure. 1 Samuel 3:13 says, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not." You know, I would suggest that Eli was a father who knew how to talk, and he tried to get his sons to stop, but he didn't stand up. He didn't stand up to him, and God judged his house for the terrible iniquity that they did. Proverbs 6:20, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." So it's very important, I believe, as dads, to be dads that set standards in our homes, if I can just encourage it that way, and with a loving, kind heart, lay out the expectation that's there for them. You know, just interesting, randomly yesterday as I was talking about this, I don't know how we got on the subject, but we were sharing there at the lunch table, and one of my daughters brought to attention something that happened many years ago. I would have forgot about it, and I'm not sure if I'm relaying this story totally accurate, but one of my daughters as a little girl was at the store with mom, I think, and she stole buttons. She got some buttons and stuck them in wherever she did, and somehow they got found later on. She'll never forget what my wife did. She didn't forget. She don't forget it to this day. They went back to the store and they asked for the manager. And my wife, if I'm relaying correctly, told the manager that, "I'm awfully sorry about this, but my daughter here stuck these in her pocket and took them home." And of course, my wife did her thing. But that wasn't enough. She had to herself publicly apologize to the manager for what she did. That left an indelible impression on her that she never forgot and never will forget. You know, consequences are real. Actions have consequences. Actions have consequences. And I think it's important for us as fathers and mothers to not bend in some of those things where we're tempted to. Where we're tempted to. It's very, very important. Provoking our children to wrath. Fathers, when we raise our voice or get frustrated or angry, provokes children to wrath. I'd like to just share with you, as fathers, just to give us some encouragement. There was recently, in a situation like this a number of years ago on Father's Day, I listened to the results after a message was shared in sharing time as different children expressed what they remember their dad for. And I'll just share this in closing. To give us dads some encouragement, what are our children looking for that will connect our hearts with them? What are things that years down the road, children will look back and they'll say, this stands out to my dad, or what he was. These are a few of the things that I heard. My dad does not speak evil of anyone. He always listens. My dad is a man of quiet words. He rarely raises his voice. My dad lets us children know we are his beloved. My dad cares about what I think, even when it's not important to him. My dad does things so we can work together. My dad is always willing to take the low road. My dad takes time for recreation, even when there is a financial cost to him. My dad gives lots of affirmation. I appreciate my dad's faithfulness to my mother. You know, that's a huge, huge gift that every one of us dads can give to our children. Faithfulness to their mother. My dad does not neglect his family, even though his business, the busyness of life. I appreciate the way my dad lived, even though he struggled with words. My dad is my friend. My dad takes time for me. I just share that to give us as fathers some encouragement as we endeavor to connect with our children. I think I'll leave off with that. I'll just say God bless all of you dads. I hope and trust that the things that I shared this morning don't overwhelm us, but rather we can find God's grace and live in the reality of God's grace and fulfill the call as we look to our perfect Heavenly Father, as imperfect as we find ourselves, and the best as God enables us with the grace of God to be that Father that God has called you and I to be. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.